that you do the same. Next item on the agenda is Harborview Limited Partnership. Going back to item three, there was no need for an executive or closed session, correct?
Right.
Make sure we dispose of that. Item six, Harborview Limited Partnership. Mr. Stagg.
Mr. Chairman, if you would, I'm going to recuse myself on this item.
So noted.
Thank you.
Morning, Commissioner and Commissioners.
Morning, Jimmy.
This is a formal restoration hearing concerning the construction of a 30.5-foot by 30.5-foot gazebo structure, which is approximately 730 square feet, channelward to mean low water adjacent to a riverfront park at the confluence of Knox Creek and the Nansemond River in the city of Suffolk.
Benny, can I stop you just a
second? Sure.
I know we're moving pretty fast. Is the respondent here, applicant, respondent, or? All right, thank you, sir. I just wanted to make sure. Thank you, Benny. I'm sorry.
This was deferred from the May and June meetings to this meeting.
All right, sir.
For the applicant was out of town, I believe. This project is going to really determine a pivot on where mean low water is. So I just want the commission to know that as far as my involvement with the project, I'm handling it as the environmental engineer, but I want the commission to understand that I've been with the commission since 1983. I currently also co-manage the engineering surveying department, and I am a registered land surveyor in Virginia. So I just want that on the record.
So noted.
As I stated, this project is located at the confluence of Knox Creek and the Nansemond River along this section of the shoreline. To the east here is the riverfront development and golf course, residential development and golf course. Of course, this topo was before the development took place. This is a digital ortho photo of the gazebo and pier as currently constructed. This riverfront pier is on a small lot that's an amenity to the subdivision. It was proposed originally in 2000 as a park, riverfront park. And the pier was proposed as access originally for small craft, beach access, and recreational fishing and sightseeing. A joint permit was originally received on March 20th of 2000, which requested authorization for a 6-foot by 240-foot open pile pier extending 110 feet channelward of mean low water. The original proposal included a 30 by 30 open-sided gazebo structure with a 5-foot wraparound pier. This is the original drawings with the gazebo structure here and a wraparound pier. Additionally, there was a proposed 1 3-foot by 10-foot finger pier and 2 3-foot by 20-foot finger piers. Also a 15-foot by 26-foot open-sided boathouse and 7 mooring piles to create 5 slips. All structures were proposed adjacent to this riverfront park as an amenity to the upland subdivision. The developer further noted that the boathouse would be used as a place to store a boat during promotions for prospective property owners, buyers. Upon receipt of this application, staff requested some additional information. The applicant was also advised that, considering their request, that we consider, among other things, the water dependency and the necessity of the proposed structures. The intended goal of this review is to limit the encroachment of the structures to the minimum amount necessary to reasonably achieve the intended use. Generally, gazebos and covered storage areas are not normally considered water-dependent structures, especially when they can be constructed on the upland property. And that was a quote from the letter that we sent them. On September 15th of 2000, we received revised drawings which depicted a considerable change in the proposal. These drawings indicated a request to construct an 8-foot by 210-foot long open pile pier with a 10-foot by 20-foot T-head, with the channelward terminus being only 46 feet channelward of mean low water. The modification also included a 30 by 30-foot open-sided gazebo that was clearly positioned landward of mean low water. This is the revised drawings and the new pier alignment. Basically, straight pier with a T-head gazebo here. I've added some extra here to clarify, because it's kind of hard to read. Again, this was the proposed gazebo. 30 by 30 is actually about 30 and a half by 30 and a half. Again, the plans showed that mean low water was 46 feet, landward of the end of the proposed pier. And mean low water was depicted in this area. We believe mean low water is more accurately shown by this blue line. You'll also note that the gazebo was to be 46 feet back, and it's only 35 and a half feet back from the end of the pier, which would indicate that the gazebo may have been constructed more channelwood than was proposed on the plans. As you'll note, the boathouse and all the slips have been deleted in this revised proposal. We subjected this proposal to our normal public interest review, and we received no objections from other agencies or the public at large. The Suffolk Wetlands Board did not take jurisdiction given its open pile nature and the exemptions provided within the Code of Virginia. They issued a letter to that effect in April of 2000. The MRC issued a permit for the pier portion that was channeled to mean low water on December 15th in 2000. During a routine project compliance assessment by Commission staff in March of 2004, we noted discrepancies between the permit drawings and the actual structures at the site. These discrepancies included the existence of an 8-foot by 10-foot floating dock shown here in the drawing. I added this to show you where it was located. That was clearly not depicted in the original drawing. Also, the construction of a 30.5-foot by 30.5-foot gazebo structure, more channel wood than the permit drawings depicted, and that the actual location of mean low water was considerably different from that which they depicted in the permit drawings. Since low tide on that date appeared to me to be slightly above normal, I determined that another site visit was warranted. I visited the site again in June 2004 and again during 2005 and found the conditions to be the same during each site visit. Subsequently, the applicant was notified and a joint site visit was conducted with the applicant and contractor in early 2006. These are pictures taken in March of 2004. Again, the alignment of the pier. You will note that the pier is not straight as it was in the drawing, and I'll address that in a few minutes. Again, here's the gazebo. On the date of this visit, this low water was approximately here, here. But I don't believe that on that date it was a normal low tide. A little closer view on that same day. This is a historic from the NOAA web page of the tides. Again, you'll see the predicted and the observed was a little above normal on that day. Again, these are some more shots from a different perspective in March of 2004. You can see the floating pier structure, the floating pier portion in that picture, and there's a shot looking straight down at it at the end of the pier. And just another view looking up the creek. This was taken in June of 2004. Again, I believe the tide at this date was just slightly above normal. And as you can see, low waters at that time was about right here. I tried to time all my site visits, at what was predicted mean low water. Again, here's the tide for that day. And again, the predicted versus the actual was slightly above normal. I think this is a more accurate depiction of a normal low tide at this location. This was in April of 2006. Again, you can see mean low water is about at the landward terminus of the gazebo structure itself. Another picture taken in April of 2006, again at low water. Again, you can see the low water is right along the inboard pilings of the structure. And this is the tide prediction for that day, which indicates in the afternoon that the tide was pretty close to normal, right at zero. At the time of the site visit in early 2006, when I met with the developer and contractor, the floating dock had already been removed. As I had spoke to them on the phone, they admitted that was not part of the original application, and they had removed that from the site. They also stated they did not believe the structure was out of compliance, and staff offered to allow the applicant to provide additional documentation in an attempt to resolve the matter. We were forwarded pictures that were taken during an extremely low tide in an attempt to show there was no water under the gazebo. However, staff did determine that on the dates of those photographs, that there had been severe westerly winds for the previous 2 to 3 days, and that the tide level was considerably lower than normal. The applicant was informed of this fact, and again, I visited the site again, as you saw in some of those pictures. We issued a sworn complaint, and the applicant was notified that if they were able to provide a certified survey depicting a properly documented mean low water elevation with the structure clearly positioned landward of mean low water, the project would be found in compliance and no further action would be required. And your packet says no such information has been provided. They did provide a survey plat yesterday afternoon, very late in the afternoon, and you'll see it here in a minute in the presentation. So you can skip the part where it says that information has not been provided. We do not believe that it is accurate or that it is a real mean low water survey. The applicant also provided in the interim this drawing, because there was some discussion about the fact that the alignment of the pier had changed from what was permitted. As you noted in the original drawings, this depicts the original alignment, which would have been straight, with the gazebo located here. What was actually constructed is the hatched curve with the bend in it, with the gazebo located here, which again shows that the gazebo is more channel wood than the original drawing shows. The rationale for that is, you can see the property line shown here projected. I believe when they started construction, they did realize that if it was constructed in this manner, it would actually cross the adjoining private property lot line in riparian area. So this was an attempt to realign it more in line with the riverfront park lot. However, no revised drawings were ever submitted to us. Our permit drawing still shows this straight alignment. They believe that change was made right when construction was ready to begin, and initially offered that they thought they had sent us those drawings. We have no record that any revised alignment was ever provided. This is the most recent survey. It was submitted yesterday afternoon in an attempt, I guess, to meet staff's request for a mean low water survey. To be honest, I've looked at this, and Hank Badger, who also helps me co-manage the engineering surveying department and is also a registered land surveyor, and neither one of us believe this is really an accurate mean low water survey. There's some missing information. It does give the datum, but it doesn't really reference it to any benchmark that we can check. The bottom line is, again, this is as constructed. They are saying mean low water is way out here, based on this note of observations on 4 dates, June the 19th, July 13th and 14th, and July the 22nd. And it says approximate low water at approximate low tide. So we don't believe this is really an accurate mean low water survey. We also don't believe mean low water is almost ever out that far, except in an extremely low tide. In an effort to clarify this a little bit for the commission, I went ahead and printed again, the tide predictions for these 4 days that this most recent survey is based on. Again, this is the predicted tide. This is the actual tide of that day. As you can see, it's a half a foot below normal. So even if they did base that survey on those dates, on that date, then the tide would be extremely low. This is for the other 2 days that were 13th and 14th. Again, as you can see, depending on which time of the day they were there, the tide in the morning of the 13th was almost, well, about 8/10 below normal, and still 5/10 below normal the interim and the next day. And the final day, I'm assuming they weren't there at 7 o'clock in the morning. Maybe they were, but if they were there in the afternoon, again, the predicted level and the actual tide level. So we're looking at the 4 days they based the survey on of an average of about 6 or 7 tenths below normal, which would push the tide out further. It is very shallow at this location. for a good way. So on a blowout tide, you can have the tide out in this area, but on a normal low tide, we still believe that it's approximately at the landward side of the gazebo. Therefore, given that fact, these are some additional aerials that were flown on May 22nd. Now, this was not low tide when I flew this. I had to fly it when the plane was available. This is probably about a mid-tide, maybe. The applicant may have some additional pictures. They did submit some additional pictures to us, as I referenced a couple of times, but we believe both of those were extremely low tides. And I believe that April picture that you saw with the water right at the landward terminus of the gazebo is a generally accurate depiction of an average, ordinary, mean low water. So given the fact that the applicant was fully aware of the Commission's water-dependent policy and the fact that the original application was specifically modified to depict the gazebo landward of mean low water, we recommend that the permittee be required to remove and relocate the structure to a location landward of mean low water, and that this location be verified by a certified field survey depicting an accurate mean low water with the revised gazebo location clearly depicted on that drawing. We would further recommend that the permittee be given 60 days to accomplish this relocation and come into compliance with their existing permit.
Any questions
for
staff?
Yes, I have a question.
Mr. Holland.
What is your a surveyor's definition of mean low water? It looks like we're getting into something that's going
to
happen.
I'll defer to Hank Badger
today
for a moment, because he's sort of our expert on the question. Is, I guess, if you could explain in layman's terms and briefly a mean low water survey that would be considered acceptable.
Well, mean low water is based on a 19-year cycle. Every 19 years, it's a new cycle, and as tide rises, it continues to go up. How would you go about doing it? Is that what you're asking? Or?
Well, we've got. It looks like we have a certified surveyor saying that the mean low water is showing that the gazebo is in band of mean low water. So, how is this commission going to determine what survey is correct?
Okay, the survey that's that Benny had up on the board from the licensed surveyor really doesn't depict mean low water. It depicts a line of low tide on four particular days.
Okay.
And there is no comparison between the low water that day and average low water. Nothing in the notes. All these soundings, it looks like to me, are based on NGV 29.
Which is?
It's a mean sea level tidal datum.
Thank you.
Which, and it doesn't have any comparison. A lot of times when you use it for elevational purposes, you have a comparison between NGV 29 and low water, which would have NGVD is 1.3 feet above low water. There's no comparison to this. So there's nothing on this drawing that shows mean low water. There's absolutely no tie. And I think that's probably why the surveyor doesn't show an average mean low water. It probably did not suit what his client wanted it to show, so he didn't show it.
Well, if you were going to do the survey on that piece of property, where would mean low water be? Do we have a survey that...
No, we've done nothing. As far as
so we don't have anything showing where mean low water is as far as a survey goes.
From VMRC, no, we have not. The only thing Mr. Stagg and I have done is try to do some assumptions here. And when we did that, we took the elevations that he's showing here, which is basically 1.5, negative 1.5, and considering that we're about 7/10 below average low water on those days out here, which would bring the elevation back up to about a negative 8. And that's a really rough assumption. Would put low water, mean low water, somewhere in the middle of the gazebo. And that is an extremely rough assumption.
I have a question.
Mr. McCluskey.
Some surveys now show low water and mean low water. Can you tell me the difference in the...
Lower low is it takes into a lot more of the storm tides than the extreme tides are brought into lower low. Low water is not based on a lot of those extreme lows.
So mean low is an extreme situation?
No, it takes into account more of the extremes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Army Corps of Engineers uses it. But as far as VMRC and the Commonwealth of Virginia, low water is the defining line, not lower low.
I have one other question.
Mr. McCluskey.
How far land would you have to move the gazebo to meet what you feel like is land with a low water?
Mr. Staggs, probably.
Well, again, we have to make some assumptions, but based on my observations in the field on a number of days and based on some assumptions from this survey, low water is somewhere, we believe, between this landward terminus of the current gazebo and somewhere maybe near the center. So to be sure that it was moved completely, I guess it would have to move all the way back to the current landward terminus. But, if they had a good survey, maybe only about half the width of the gazebo. So anywhere from 15 to 30 feet.
Minimum of 15 feet. That's what you're saying?
Yes.
Any other questions of staff? I have one.
Yep.
Ben, from the point landward on, I believe the photograph was April the 10th, where it showed the, that right there, about, to the farther channelward end of this structure. How deep is the water at the farthest or the most channelward?
At the end of the pier?
At the end of the gazebo.
In the gazebo. It probably doesn't change more than, 2 to 3, 4 inches. It's very flat here. I mean, that's the problem with this location, is that it is a very shallow area out past the gazebo.
Any other questions?
Yeah, one more.
Mr. Schick.
Can the low tide line be denoted by marine life and plants? Things like that, as far as an additional information?
Not really, particularly in this environment, I don't believe it would, because it is so shallow. I mean, some areas where it's, the elevation changes fairly quickly, that might be a case, but this is so shallow that all of this habitat from the marsh line out almost to the end of the pier is very, very similar.
Thank you, Ben. Is the respondent here represented? You come forward, sir. You raise your right hand and be sworn.
Sir.
Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Can you state your name and who you represent, please?
Dean G. Vincent, Harborview Limited Partnership.
Good to have you here, Mr. Vincent.
Thank you. And I am a licensed professional engineer in the state of Virginia. I'm here today, and I guess I'm at a little bit of a disadvantage, so I have to ask a couple questions. First of all, I had furnished to then Commissioner Pruitt a letter and some attachments back in June, and I'm just wondering if staff made that available to you gentlemen.
That was a packet. That one survey is part of it.
Now, there was a position letter, other documents. Thinking that wasn't the case, I've made copies. I'd like to distribute them if I can, please. Further, while we're distributing, I have copies of the survey that is made in question, as well as 7 pages of pictures depicting the location of the edge of the water at low tide on several different days. I guess with that, I'd like to lay some background here.
Please.
Certainly. In 2000 when this, and first of all, let me say this, at the time, I was still in the consulting business and not directly involved with the permitting or the construction of this facility. So I had to have be brought up to speed a little bit going through our files as well. In 2000, the issue that hinged on the issuance of this permit was the location of mean low water. Bob Livengood with L&L Marine, both the preparer of that application as well as our contract. This application, as Mr. Stagg showed you, took quite some time and was refined many times. And why? Because of that one issue. Further, the structure, the gazebo, was staked in the field. We recall it being staked. Branch Lawson, who is the managing general partner, who's still with the company, was there. And this was a point of conversation meetings in the year 2000 of where it was. Matter of fact, the size of the gazebo was a function of where the edge of the marsh grass was at the time and where mean low water was shown not only by our applicant, but also as based on many field observations. So then the permit was issued. It was built in 2001. I look back in our files when it was brought and Mr. Stagg met with us on a very cold January or February day this year in 06 to discuss this about the discrepancy between the drawing and the angle that it was constructed as and versus being straight. I went back in our files and I found many copies of the revised drawing that were dated prior to the construction, between the permit and the construction later in 2001. I believe Mr. Stagg would be a very truthful and honest person here, and he's saying he didn't find copies in the files. But I find that hard to believe because there was 20 copies in my file. And what happened was basically after the permit was issued, they had the property line staked, and it became obvious that it would encroach on the adjacent property. So, the issue as I see it, when Mr. Stagg met with us, there was three bases of the complaints. First of all, there was a floating pier that was with some piles on the end of the pier. I went back into the application. I saw that was not in compliance, understanding the fact I wasn't involved in the first permit. Saw that it was. We had it removed. Second point of the complaint was the fact that the gazebo appeared to be, based on one drawing and the other, to be perhaps as 11 feet closer, the 46-foot dimension off the tee that was referred to in the original drawing versus the physical survey and Ben's measurement in the field of 35 feet. So we had a physical survey done by our surveyor. Now, our surveyor is Ralph Serene Associates. They've been surveying this property for over 10 years. The datum that we brought up there, NGVD, is the topo that was been run for all the Harborview development. Everything's been built out. All the aerials that have ever been done are on that datum. That's a pretty well-established datum. We did the physical survey on the gazebo, and we saw that approximately, based on your scaling and your eye, it's anywhere from 3 to 4 feet physically closer to the channel than the earlier drawings, because the angle has an effect on it. I mean, when it gets bent, it's back. So it's 3 to 4 feet. That's all. Given the nature of this area and the flatness of the of it and everything, and given the way piers are built, I was pretty surprised that it was that close. But anyway, just knowing the nature of construction. So we provided that information. So then I think the whole thing now boils down to an issue of assumptions and other things that the staff are making about what they believe mean low water is here. I would provide it in the earlier documentation to Mr. Pruitt, it's an old topo that was done in 86. This is the old aerial topo that was done to that whole area. You can see there's a tremendous amount of lowering in the channel as well as along the bank in the last 20 years and certainly in the last 5 years. I mean, I don't need to tell y'all about the fact that we've had a hurricane and a lot of nor'easters through there. Those things happen. Mean low water, and I'm not a licensed surveyor. I'm a professional engineer, but I talk to people who are knowledgeable about things, and I listen a lot. And what I glean from all this is it's obvious, you know, it is normal course of things that the channel, especially in a relatively flat area, there can be erosion, there can be scouring, and that type of thing that happens, causes the elevation to drop. The surveyor went out on the photos were taken and measurements were made on four different occasions on the physical survey, as you see. And that was the average location on those four different dates. The pictures I've distributed to you are the pictures taken when we went out there. I have to tell you, like Commissioner Bowman said, this area is very flat. I mean, it is very flat. I mean, you know, and what I did here in listening to the latter part of the conversation was essentially, well, where do we think it may be? Well, it may be somewhere in this 30-foot span, you know, from landward to seaward, and it's probably 2-3 inches variation underneath the gazebo. I have to tell you, you know, in our communities and when we build things, we clearly always try to meet and exceed standards. We try to do this here. Now, I want to make sure there's some clear. I want to clarify a couple points here. First of all, this was brought to my attention for the first time at the end of last year. Now, I know Mr. Stagg has been out there. And at the time when he brought it to my attention, I explained to him that I could not jump on it right away because the gentleman that had been with our company who was in charge of it had recently passed away. And I had to refresh myself with it. So we went back out there. Now, you know, there seems to be a lot of haste in getting this item before you in the May meeting and everything. And I'm not really certain why, because of the fact that the thing was built in 2001. It had been monitored for a while, and then it was brought to our attention late last year. And then we finally had a meeting early this year. We have tried to provide the information that was told to us by staff we needed to provide. We feel that we have done nothing wrong here. We built the structure substantially in accordance with the original permit. It's now a matter of one person's opinion versus another person's opinion. You know, we didn't tell our surveyor to put a line somewhere, and I didn't like that. Maybe that wasn't implied that way, but I read it that way. It was taken based on checking low tides and going out there after we had done the physical survey. This structure is on community property. We have we built this at no cost to the Homeowners Association. It is an attempt for folks that don't have the ability and luxury to be on the water, to walk out on the pier and enjoy the set. And they do it quite frequently. The gazebo is a benefit to all the members of the community. It's now owned by the Homeowners Association. We deeded that over to them. It has been, it was the city sticker for the city of Suffolk 2 years ago. It's a real asset to the community. And quite frankly, our opinion is we've done what we were asked to do. We've provided the information. And we ask that by all means, this structure remain as is.
Any questions for Mr. Vinson? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone in the audience pro or con on this matter?
This is a restoration.
I'm sorry, sir. You're correct. It is a restoration. Comments by the commission? Well,
let me just say something.
Mr. Highland.
This was built and permitted back in 2000, built in 2001. I guess my question is, first, is in the future, how are we going to define mean low water? If we tell somebody they've got to build a structure inward of mean low water, I don't want to see somebody back here 6 months from there debating where mean low water is. I think from this point on, that we should have a very distinct line of where mean low water is.
I'd like to ask Vims a question. Mr. Barnell? Now, I know it's probably difficult for you to make an assessment based on the pictures that are before you. Can you, and realizing the water dependency policy of this commission is a very important policy, it again goes back to the public trust, our desire to protect those very valuable areas as far as marine ecosystems are concerned, but can you give me an assessment on what impacts you think that this specific structure may have on whether it's the benthic system or whether it's just the overall mariculture? Or what's going on with mariculture?
Well, as for the potential impacts, they, in our opinion, would be minimal. And if they were moved onto the marsh, it would actually increase the impacts from a shading perspective. So as for where mean low water is, I have actually, one of my first grants and contracts from VIMS was to actually do this for the city of Pecosin, determine where mean low water was, determine the 19-year cycle, determine the jurisdictional limits. So I have done tide gauges and such. It is very math heavy, so it is not something that can be done very easily. It does take quite a bit of surveying. It is a physical phenomenon. There is nothing really from a biological perspective that can set a jurisdictional limit for mean low water. That was a question earlier. I think we need to clarify that. But so I can provide no information from a VIMS perspective at this point to tell you where that line might be in this. But I can say that the where the gazebo is now or where it may be moved other than on top of the marsh would be a minimal impact to the literal environment.
Anybody have? Mr. Schick.
You saw the survey that was provided by the applicant. Do you feel that was an inconclusive or incomplete survey?
I would rather not comment on that, Mr. Schick, because this is the first I've seen and it's just been a slide. And that, again, that's a very math-heavy physical thing to determine the exact mean low tide. That's why NOAA has a very, very good website that you saw today that mm-hmm. takes into account all of that, the predicted versus the observed.
With the
Mr. Fox.
With the orientation of the gazebo relative to north and south, it would appear, I'm looking at this long drawing here, it would appear that if they move it back too far, and I don't know what too far is, but a certain distance, the sun is going to, if the gazebo will shade that marsh, which you've indicated is not a good thing.
Well, it really depends on orientation. I mean, and piers do that, of course, and depending upon the height and the width, there can be a minimal to mm-hmm. whatever continuum you want on the shading of the marsh. But, you know, temporary shading happens naturally, trees, et cetera, on the shoreline and some structures on the shoreline. So we don't really consider that a temporary shading to be an impact. Mm-hmm. It would be an adverse impact, mm-hmm. significant.
Any other questions of them?
Mr. Chairman, no.
Mr. Highland.
I don't have any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Lyle.
Based on the fact that it was permitted in 2000 and it was built in 2001, and it's very minimal impact, if any, if we require it to be moved. And I don't think it was put there knowing that they weren't back of mean low water. I think they thought they were. And we can't even today tell them where mean low water is. But so I couldn't vote to have them move the facility. But in the future, we have to determine. So it's very clear when we tell an applicant that they have to build a structure back of mean low water, where that line is. Because I don't want, as I said earlier, someone coming back and say, we assume it was here, so therefore you've got to move it. How well that's determined, I want it real clear in the future. So that's how I feel about it.
Mr. Schick.
This is the problem when you have different boards handling different areas. You've got, us, you've got Wetlands Board, you've got Chesapeake Bay Act. Nobody wants a structure in their zone. So somebody's trying to push it somewhere so they can have the structure. I think it would probably be more impact by removing it and putting it on the marsh than it would be, by leaving it there. It is difficult to see where low tide is. It's just amazing that the applicant's low tide shows no water under it, and our pictures show that there is water under it. I'm not saying anybody's trying to pull a wool over somebody's eyes, but I just don't think we have the complete information before us as far as where the tide line is. And I don't know what the policy is as far as when we do a site visit before construction or during construction, but somehow some type of marker might need to be denoted. Normally it's not a big issue because it's usually a very defined issue. If there was no gazebo, there'd be no problem. So when you apply this additional layer of, before you know it, our staff is going to have a list as thick as this book to go out, and check different things. But, I just think this is definitely an administrative problem that the staff is going to have to deal with in the future of where this tide line is and making sure that the applicant knows where we think it is, or have them determine where it is and have us approve it or something like that when they're going to have some type of structure like this.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. McCluskey.
I'm familiar with the work that Harborview Limited accomplished in the past. They do beautiful work. I don't think they've done anything intentional. At least nobody said they have. The gazebo appears to be well built, something that if you saw the hurricane proof, we heard a lot of things about gazebos and buildings blowing down and nobody taking care of them, but I don't think that's going to be the case here. As far as the survey is concerned, I know Ralph Serene for many years. He's done work for me, and he's a very honorable man. And I know he wouldn't put his career, his license on the line to do anything that wasn't a problem. So I'd like to make a move as appropriate that the gazebo be left in its present position. And that's Harborview Limited 000476, that application.
Second to the motion.
In other words, the project continue to be approved.
The entire project.
I second.
I'd like to make a couple comments before we vote, if I could. As I stated from the outset, I think staff has an obligation to do the best job they possibly can in managing these type of encroachments. And if you don't look at where is the defining line over what deserves review and what doesn't deserve review. Having said that, what causes me the most difficulty is the graphs. I'm not a professional engineer nor a licensed surveyor, but what causes me the most concerns is the variations and deviations of the observed tide lines for what the predicted tide lines were. It seems to me that in some days the predicted and the observed can kind of make the difference between water being under it and water not being under it. So I think staff was right to bring it to our attention, and the matter is now before the commission. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
May I make a comment?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
I guess I'm swayed by Vims's comments that where it's located, it's not doing much environmental damage, and I am concerned that if it's moved back closer, it will perhaps do some environmental damage to the marsh. So I think it's really a question of can there be a gazebo or not? Because I don't think the gazebo has served much useful function if it's back there by the steps, landward of the marsh. I think it is they're subject to considerable question here about where low water really is. And so since it's not doing a whole lot of damage where it is, I'm inclined to vote to leave it like it is.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Shakey.
I have a problem with gazebos to begin with. Gazebos don't belong in the mudflats. They don't belong on the water. They don't belong in the grasslands. They belong upland. All gazebos belong upland. I know that
General
differ.
Assembly didn't.
Yes, I know. I differ. My opinion doesn't, match the General Assembly's. It's a non-water dependent use. In a hurricane, it's going to cause problems. It doesn't belong there. But in this case, it's there. And, General Assembly has allowed us to start permitting them there, and it is minimal impact. So. Begrudgingly, I'll support this idea, but I think this issue has to be brought up. They don't belong on the waterfront like this.
And I would agree with Mr. Schick's comments.
Point well taken. Mr. Grab?
Just to preclude a situation like we had with the Holloway.
Yes, sir.
As I understand it, the motion is to grant after-the-fact authorization for the structure. There is no permit. It was an 01 permit. That's expired. So I gather then that you want to reactivate the 01 or the 02 permit, modify the 02 permit to approve the structure as it exists, thereby not incurring an after-the-fact permit fee, given the fact that there is no permit, and it does not include a civil charge.
Is that the maker of the motion's intent?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And the seconder of the motion accepts that. Any further discussion? Matters before the commission. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Chair votes aye. Thank you, sir. I see Ms. Hill's mother has arrived. She is? She was.
She is here.
We'll pass the Hill area until Ms. Mary Hill is present.